You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good morning to you on a Wednesday, hump day, battlefield study day here on All Marine Radio. So good morning to you. Hope you're having a good morning wherever you are. I am. Couple things in my head to start the show. One is, I'm continually privileged, right? I'm continually privileged to have people reach out to me who are struggling, who get connected to me by people who have seen post-traumatic winning and say, hey, man, I have somebody that you need to talk to. And so, yeah, it's... And it changes my life every time it happens. So I'm minding my business yesterday, and my phone rings. I see it's a local number here in Southern California, so I answer. And guy introduces himself to me and says that a friend told him that I should, you know, that he should speak to me. And so he served as a Navy corpsman, and I don't rightly know how those guys are right in the head as our Army medics, right? And I'm talking about guys who, you know, go to the field and then ultimately treat their friends, right? As their friends have been shot or wounded or whatever. And so, I mean, I think all of us have incredible respect for our Navy corpsmen that serve with us wherever we go, and also to Army medics. So, so we start talking, and I start explaining post-traumatic winning to him. And it's amazing to me when you tell people there's nothing wrong with you, man. And it never, ever, ever ceases to amaze me because of the reaction they have. Because they believe, right? They believe because they don't fit inside the VA's, you know, neat little, you know, we're going to medicate you and you're going to go to talk therapy. you know, and we're going to teach you how to endure this shit. Because that doesn't work for them, they feel like there's something wrong with them, that they're the one that's fucked up. And so I cannot tell you how exciting it is every time this happens to me. Every time this happens to me. And, you know, to meet people that struggle and to show them there's a path for you. There's a path that leads from your trauma to a joyful place. And so that whole phrase, trauma to joy, it's no joke. It's no joke. And so, so as we talk and I kind of go through, you know, three goals and then the Ten Commandments with them very briefly, you know, I can hear him getting emotional. And then he says to me, he goes, well, maybe I should stop drinking. I said, well, I don't think there's any maybe involved in that. And when you watch what happens to your life, you'll do it without, you know, without any encouragement. Nobody will need to encourage you to do it because you know what happens, right? What happens when, you know, you have, you know, your trauma is kind of like a submarine that's cruising under the water, right? You try to keep it submerged. And what does alcohol do? Alcohol brings the sub to the surface. And only bad things happen then. And so we talked about alcohol and, you know, and its effect. We talked about, you know, financial, you know, what Will Cosentini, if you missed the discussion yesterday with Will Cosentini in hour two, you know, Will, we talked about current events, and then towards the end of it, we talk about in a year's time, Will lost his wife, Carrie. And we all know that, you know, women are not supposed to predecease their husband. That is not the way we draw up the circle of life. Okay. And, you know, and, you know, Carrie in her mid-50s, right? So anyway, and then probably 9 months after that, you know, he loses his job. And so, you know, Will talks about, you know, about those kind of traumatic events and getting through them. And one of the things Will talked about was, you know, I don't know what I'd do if my financial affairs weren't in order. If I had to, because look, bottom line, nobody's hiring guys in, you know, that are 58 years old, you know, right now. What would I have done if my financial affairs weren't in order? So, you know, I hear these voices talking to me when these issues come up and I'm talking to people about them. So as we talk, he says to me, and I won't go into detail to what he said, but he told me that he had been adopted. And that his adopted mother sexually assaulted him when he was a little kid. And so, you know, you listen to somebody's pain, and a lot of times it's just, I mean, it literally takes your breath away. That in addition to these things that we see when we go to war, there's things that, you know, fractured pieces of us when we were kids. And so as we're talking, you know, he starts to get more emotional. And he said, I can't believe that there's nothing wrong with me. And I said, well, you tell me, do you think your reactions to these things in your life have been pretty normal for being a victim, you know, of sexual assault as a child? I said, pretty predictable and pretty normal, right? And he was telling me, you know, I used to fight everybody to prove myself, you know? And so it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing to me when you think of people like that and you think, oh, you know, that guy's so screwed up. Look, and when you tell him, hey, there's nothing wrong with you, okay? And that there is a path for you, and I'll show it to you. And then you can turn around, and you can imagine him as a Navy corpsman, right? What he spend his life do? Helping people, right? That's what he spent his life doing. And now he's gonna just continue to do it again. And at one point we were talking about getting his guys back together on Facebook and stuff like that, and he said, I hesitate to do that because so much pain always comes out. I said, what happens if you could ease that pain? And then he got emotional again. And so, and then he asked me, he goes, how did you learn all this stuff? I said, I listened. I listened to Marines tell their stories. And they tell a different variation of the same story. And that's what this is. And I said, so I'm going to send you something. I want you to know that every bit of it comes from Marines and sailors. Okay? Every bit of it. It comes from our culture. And you're going to read it, and you're going to know it's the truth. You're going to know it's the truth. And so I don't know how long we were on the phone, maybe an hour and a half. And, you know, how do you have a better day than that, right? Knowing that you've opened the door to a path to transform somebody's life. I don't know that you do. I don't know that you do. And so I just wanted to talk about that here at the top of the show, in that the path from trauma to joy got walked again yesterday by somebody who will in turn lead other people to that place. And it's the coolest thing to experience, the absolute coolest thing to experience. And again, as seems to be the case so often, it's not just what people see during a conflict, or maybe when something goes wrong in a training event, or maybe in a hospital. It's not just that. There's other things in their life that happen in their personal life that contribute in a significant way that they won't talk about. And I'll tell you, in the course of the conversation yesterday, we talked for probably an hour before he brought the rest of the story up and said, I've only told this to one other person in my life. Well, why is he telling me? Why is he telling me? He's telling me, and I say this, the reason with people that you trust and you meet and you're having these kind of conversations with, the reason you should tell the truth about what's happened in your life is because that gives them permission to tell the truth about what happened in their life. And so I don't know that guy from anybody. He called me. He was referred to me by somebody who he used to work with and said, hey, you should talk to this guy. And, you know, and I told him about me. And then the more I spoke of things that were truthful to him, the deeper and deeper the conversation went. Because his experience, and this is what he told me, he goes, man, I go to those stupid-ass therapy sessions with people that don't understand us, that don't have our experiences, and it just drives me crazy. I hate it. And I stopped going. I said, what about the medications they give you? And he said, I throw them away. I hate them. And that, again, is the typical, I would tell you, you know, of the people that I interact with, it is the overwhelming response. And that when you show them there's a path that is not bullshit, man, it's a path that's carved out, right, with picks and shovels, and it's not, you know, it doesn't have graders and shit like that. The path number 4, Interstate 4, is built with picks and shovels, right? And it's a path that we built from trauma to joy. And so, again, I just want to encourage everybody not to be afraid to go there with people, because it's absolutely amazing. And the other question I get is, well, how do you know that they'll go there with you? And the answer is, I don't. I just know what I experience every time I do it. And what I experience every time I do it is, it's life-changing. For me now, it's life-affirming that this is the right way. That for whatever reason, having listened to veterans for 4+ years and listened to the same story, even a dope like me can figure some stuff out. And so for the 90% of us that don't have infrastructure damage, and inside the DOD, it's probably higher. So 95, 96, 97% of us that don't have infrastructure damage, in the general population, it's probably, you know, that number's lower, right? Because they don't get screened and all the rest of that stuff. So in the population, 90%. Inside the DOD, it's above 95%, approaching 99%, I tell you, that don't have infrastructure damage, that are not bipolar, that are not schizophrenic, that are not manically depressed. The truth, the unvarnished truth, is what resonates with them. And when they hear it and they understand that you're not bullshitting, then they open up. Like, I've never heard anything like that. He said that to me yesterday. I've never heard anything like this. Why? That's my question. Why? Because people don't listen? They're too busy selling their bullshit that they sell us? So, and that's why, to me, we all know people that are going to be impacted by, you know, what they've seen relative to the coronavirus, healthcare professionals. And I want to encourage you, do not be afraid to reach out and say, hey, let me read you an email. Mac, I'm listening. I have several friends in the medical field. Are there things that you send people? Yes. And if you want what I send, you know, I'll send it to you. But you can find it on my website. The first thing I do is I send them, number one is the 3 Goals and 10 Commandments. And the cool part about the 3 Goals and 10 Commandments is that there's no bullshit in there. There's no bullshit in there. Okay? Everything that they read in there, they'll go, whoa, 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 whoa. Speaks the truth. Right? Whoever wrote this speaks the truth. The next thing I send them is I send them a couple interviews. One with Matt Kiker, and K-I-K-E-R, and the other one was Sergeant Doe. Matt was already in the darkness, much like this guy yesterday. Right? I mean, from the experiences Matt had as a kid, you know, he knew the black part of life. And so I knew that, I know when he listens to it, that interview will speak to him. And then Matt shows up at post-traumatic winning. And for him, he said the key part of it was when he met me and we went into another room and he looked at me and he said, does it ever stop hurting? And I said, no. And he said, that's when I knew I could trust you because you told me the truth. And then the other interview I send is by Sergeant Doe. He showed up. He didn't have any trauma in his life. And then his dad commits suicide 90 days later. And so I send that. And then I send some, I don't know that I posted it to the internet. I'll have to check. But I send things that I've received in the last 4 months after I did post-traumatic winning for a couple weeks in January. And I just collected the emails that I got that were sent to me, sanitized them for names and things like that. And I said, look, these are Marines. These are Marines, most of them junior Marines. And I'm 62 years old. I'm not supposed to be able to connect with them, but read this stuff. And so that's what I send. And so if I can help you use that, just shoot me a note and I'll shoot you that stuff. I'll make it easy for you. So anyway, don't be afraid to show somebody Brigadoon, because it's not readily apparent. When they go to the therapist and my experience is not a good one. Most of the people I deal with have not had good experiences there, right? The truth, man, the truth. Tell them the truth and then challenge them. Challenge them to get their shit together. Challenge them to live by the 3 goals and 10 commandments. And then poke them in the chest and say, and then you need to help other people. You need to share this with other people. And when you do, it'll transform your life. And watch what happens. So, yeah. Be in a path to Interstate 4. It's not really an interstate. It's more of a path. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. One other thing I want to say is about economics and the COVID-19 thing. I watched Dr. Drew last night, and California, you know, it's a local Southern California show that he appears on Channel 11. I think it's KTLA, Channel 11, although I'm not sure. But anyway, he comes on, and they're talking about the governor of California and his kind of helter-skelter approach to bringing the state out of lockdown or whatever the hell we are, and how that does it doesn't seem right to be based in science, that it seems to be some kind of I can't really connect the dots events. And so anyhow, and he was talking about the beach thing again, and he said, look, he said, I'll just use the beach thing, but you could apply it to restaurants. You can apply it to the way, you know, to different retail things. That California is going to open up, but not everybody can open up for curbside pickup. That's how you can open up as a retail establishment. And he said, it leaves you scratching your head. And if you're a business owner, it must be incredibly frustrating because you have bills to pay. And even a small amount of revenue with a smaller staff can help you stay in business, right? You got to reduce your expenses. But so I saw something earlier this morning about the restaurant business and the chef, by the way, who's doing better. I had a couple of people email me, but the chef is doing better. He had a triple bypass surgery a week ago on Monday, and he's getting ready to go home. So I'm not sure when we'll actually speak to him. Might be another week or two, but I got a note from Miss B, and she said the nurses and doctors say he's doing really good and that he should be coming home pretty soon, and looking forward to it. So anyway, but in my conversation with Kim, one of the things that he talked about was the profit margin in the restaurant business is 5 to 10%. When you decrease your revenue, let's just say you lose a third of your revenue capacity because you have to spread people out. And truth be told, in a lot of restaurants, it'll be more. Okay. Can you cut your variable? Can you cut your variable costs? Because you have a fixed cost, right? You have your rent or mortgage. You have insurance, right? For the building, you have insurance for the people to come in the building. So all those are fixed costs. And really, the only variable I could cut, like Kim said, you could cut menu items, high-end menu items. That'll reduce your costs some. Or you could not buy as much of it. And then your wait staff, right? Your wait staff you cut. You need your cooks. You need the bartender. So you can't cut them. What happens if I can't cut enough to be profitable? Because, again, you're only talking about 5 to 10% profit in the restaurant business. I lose a third of my revenue, and I can't cut a third of my expenses. Do I open at a loss? Do I open to lose money? Business and economics says, no, you don't do that. You don't operate to lose money. But there's going to be people that say, but I have to. I have to get open so people will begin to come back. You know, it took me years to build that business. Right? And the gravy in the restaurant business is the bar business, right? No, but that goes to zero now. You can serve liquor at the table. That's it. So anyway, and that's why I say when you look at this recovery, this stuff has to be based in science. And to me, it's absolutely stupid. And the city council of Newport Beach is kind of being obstinate with the state. The virus doesn't live in the sun. It cannot. Yet you can't go to the beach and sit on the beach. The beach will be open, but you got to keep moving. You can go run. You can surf. You can go for a walk. But you can't sit out on the beach. Well, why? If the coronavirus doesn't live in the sun, shouldn't we want people to get outside? And so I saw Dr. Drew talking about this last night. And he said, look, some of this stuff just doesn't make any sense. And I don't get the rationale for it. So anyway, I mean, so you're looking at the destruction of the restaurant bar business in the United States. All of those that have any kind of current obligations. Now, if you own your own building, and that thing's paid off, and you just shutter the place, and you don't have any more costs, and you have some money in the bank, then I guess you can open up in 6 months when life maybe gets back to normal. But I don't know. A lot of this stuff not making sense to me. A lot of this stuff not making sense to me. And the rules that some of these state dictators, I should have said dickheads, but yeah, that they're putting in place and they're saying, oh, they're for the greater good. You're destroying industries, man. You're destroying industries. So trust me, as we open up, more people are going to get COVID-19. Hopefully the rate stays the same. And hopefully by protecting the people that are at risk, we can reduce the death rate as this thing washes through and we develop some sort of herd immunity. But all these ridiculous regulations, I mean, to me, I know that, I even thought, like, I should go down to Newport Beach with a beach chair. I should plop that son of a bitch on the beach. Say, you want to arrest me? Go ahead. But I don't do stupid. Now, that in and of itself might be stupid. Why do I want to get arrested and all the rest of that nonsense? But it's getting to the point where this is stupid. Email, Mac, send Kim my best wishes from Vacaville, man. Thanks, sir. Big Dave. I will. No, the chef is doing good. All right, we're going to start the program. And in hour two, you're going to hear another battlefield study segment devoted to Marines fighting in Vietnam, in particular around Con Tien. And this one is another installment relative to Operation Buffalo, where for those of you that have listened, Daryl Horn, the last three Wednesdays, talked about his experience. And he was in Bravo Company. And so stop what you're doing. You're either sitting or standing. Put both hands out in front of yourself. Okay. Your head is the basic Con Tien. Okay. Bravo Company is on the right. And now put that hand above your left hand. And they're both out in front of you. Okay. So they're separated laterally. So Bravo Company is on the right. And they get essentially ambushed by anywhere, they estimate three or four battalions of North Vietnamese Army soldiers ambush them. Alpha Company is your left hand, right? They're both moving north towards the Ben Hai River, which is the river in the DMZ, all right? So they hear that fight, and they try to go to Bravo Company's aid. And you're going to hear, you're going to hear today from Ray Linebaugh, although he doesn't tell me his name's Ray Linebaugh. I was saying Linbaugh, and he never corrects me till after it, so he'll pay for that. So anyway, you'll hear that interview. And again, you know, I feel like I should warn you. He uses terms like gook and things like that. So if you're offended by that, much like World War II veterans refer to the Japanese soldiers they fought as Japs, you can still hear that hate in their voice. And so just a warning. But a really interesting interview from a really interesting guy. He's a minister now. Yeah, he's a minister now. So anyway, you'll hear that coming up at the top of the hour. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Do not pass up opportunities to touch people's lives. And it doesn't matter what age they are, but you can show them, right, the path that we've shoveled out to create the fourth path that we're going to turn into an interstate. And you can show people that you can take people there and you can change their lives. And there's no greater feeling, when you go to bed at night and, you know, it's a feeling of happiness and contentment that you have in fact changed somebody's life forever. So, don't be afraid to go there. And if you need any help, just shoot me an email. So, with all of that said, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. This is dedicated to a Navy corpsman who I met yesterday. And what a cool experience. And good luck to you. Don't screw it up. All right. And stay away from the tequila.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Somebody just sent me an email. Seems like you hear the same things over and over again. I do. That's why I know, right? I don't care what anybody else has to say anymore. I mean, I listen, but I know. I've heard it from too many people, right? And I've had PhDs sit down with me and talk to me about the power of post-traumatic winning and how important it is and the segment of the population that it addresses. Oh, yeah, and that's somewhere between 90 and 99%. That is an awesome saxophone, just for the record. Yeah, right? And so hearing things like, there's nothing wrong with me. Why hasn't anybody ever told me that I would never get over it? Why hasn't anybody just looked at me and said, stop drinking, like you just did? I said, they're afraid. They don't live. I mean, our culture's different, man. If that's the truth, why would I not tell you, stop drinking? So, anyhow, no, it is. But it affirms for me, every time this happens, the rightness of post-traumatic winning. And that you can go from trauma to joy. Right? Because I see it all the time. I see it all the time. So, anyway. Time to check the weather. Yeah. Currently, it is cloudy and 57 in Quantico. It's cloudy, partly sunny, and 64 Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. Sunny and 75 already out in 29 Palms, so it's going to be warm out there today. Pendleton report, sun and 70. Dark cloudy and 68 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark cloudy 73. Camp Butler in Okinawa. Evening, a few clouds and 84 degrees at Leatherneck in Afghanistan in the Helmand province, and at our base in Al-Asad in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq. It is mostly sunny and 81. Currently already here in Southern California, partly cloudy and 69. The wind chill sits at 69. Somebody said, Mac, why do you give the wind chill in Southern California to me? I said, because somebody made fun of me when I did it before, so now I do it all the time. That's right. You're that kind of guy? I think I might be. Looking for a high of 83 degrees today. Yeah. It was hotter than that yesterday. 80 tomorrow, no. And on Friday, when the beach is open in Southern California, I think some have opened today, it is going to be 77 degrees. So that is a look at your weather. I got a text message this morning about Pete Rose. Hey, Pete Rose, you know, somebody, there's a story that says that Pete Rose corked his bats. Can't we just leave him alone? We would, but he's a liar. He keeps lying. So you can, I mean, he reminds me of the Communist Party. Just keep lying. At some point, you know, they will give in and they will go ahead and, they will go ahead and give in to us. Answer, no. Pete Rose bet on baseball. Then he lied about it. He had friends that went to him and said, we'll go, teammates, very prominent teammates that went to him and said, hey, we'll go to bat for you. Okay, just admit what you did. And he lied to them. So, and I'll tell you a story. When my dad was managing Major League Baseball, he went to manage the Cincinnati Reds when they were still the big red machine, right? Well, the year that he got the job, Pete Rose had played out his option the year before. And so he was a free agent. And I said, are they going to sign Pete Rose? And my dad looks at me and says, Mike, Pete Rose is a bad guy. So, like, industry secrets, right? Pete Rose is a bad guy. What? Because he's Charlie Hustle, right? He's this little engine that could. He goes, he's not a good human being. I was like, really? He looks at me and says, take my word for it. No bueno. He's not a good hombre. So anyway, yeah. So Pete Rose, man. Admit this, Pete. Words live by Pete Rose. Admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. Right, which sounds like this. Okay, I didn't do it. I didn't have anything. Right, I didn't have anything to do with it, and I've never done that. Right, so that's admit nothing, deny everything, and in fact, the person that is accusing you, that guy, is the one who you should be investigating. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. Donald Trump, he lives by that too. So anyway, but again, I've changed my tune on. I don't think you need to be a Boy Scout to be the president of the United States. I think you have to relentlessly operate in the best interest of the American worker. Okay. I don't know that you necessarily need to be a great human being, but if you will do what's best for the country in terms of security and what's best for the country, which I think he has, and if you will do what's best for the country in terms of its economic future, to me, what you do in your personal life, I don't really care. And I would tell you, in my opinion, the glaring hole in Donald Trump's performance portfolio. Replacing the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, I know he's had a lot of things, NAFTA, right, the American economy, now this thing, the whole impeachment thing and the Russian thing, which is now coming down in flames, all of that. And Afghanistan in there, Iraq in there, Iran in there. So to me, replacing with bilateral agreements or some other agreement, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is absolutely vital to our strategic interests in the region. In my opinion, that's his glaring failure. And I think he's done pretty good as the president of the United States. And I'm no fan of his personally. But I'm over that in terms of, oh yeah, the guy's a total piece of shit. Yeah, Barack Obama seems like a wonderful human being. He was a horrible president. He was a horrible president for 8 years. He was horrible. I know it hurts, but that's the truth. So anyway, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. And then at the top of the hour, just beyond the top of the hour, probably about 5 minutes after 9 o'clock here on the West Coast, you're going to hear from Ray Limbaugh. And he's going to talk to you about July 2nd being about 1,500 meters away from Bravo Company on an operation called Buffalo in 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, just south of the demilitarized zone in Vietnam. So, yeah, don't want to miss it. It's part one of two parts. And so the next part will be, well, you'll hear about that in the interview. So don't touch that dial. More Vol Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed. I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On a Wednesday, hump day. To the news we go. Top of the fold stories in Stars and Stripes are ISIS fighters who attacked Bagram earlier this year have all been killed in subsequent operations. Those operations were led by Afghan commandos. Nice. The former commanding officer of the Theodore Roosevelt left Guam for a new assignment. Why is he still in Guam? Oh, he was in quarantine. Headed for the West Coast to go back to work, as it should be. All right, time to move on. Here's a pretty cool story. Why you always want Marines around. And here's three of them. And they look like Marines, too. They have terrible tans, right? They've got face tans, and then the rest of their bodies are white, right? But they're in pretty good shape, all three of them. One of them's got some nice tattoos. All of them have pretty short hair. From left to right, Daniel Colt, captain type, Sergeant John Dietrich, and PFC Alexander Meinhardt of 1st Battalion, 6th Marines. 2nd Marine Division. He posed at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. The three Marines detained a hostile passenger during a flight from Japan to Texas. So listen to this. Quote, "We all heard the commotion and instinctively knew something needed to be done," Sergeant Dietrich said. An assault infantry Marine. "The only thing that was going through our heads was to ensure the safety of all passengers on board and our fellow Marines." The trio was about halfway through a 6-month deployment to Camp Schwab on Okinawa, but each for different reasons, they were cleared to travel back to the United States despite the DOD's COVID-related stop movement order. Quote, "Honestly, we just kind of naturally positioned ourselves in a manner to cover the exit and cover each other." Captain Colt, an infantry officer from Coon Rapids, Iowa, told Stars and Stripes. "They gathered in a tactical stack at the lavatory and prepared to subdue the passenger as a flight attendant unlocked the door. They restrained him after the flight crew provided flex ties." Quote, "You know how to work with a team, and you're trained to calmly insert yourself into a situation," Captain Colt said. "Even though we were all different ranks, we had shared experiences in training that made it an easy situation." After restraining the passenger in a seat, they watched him for the duration of the flight, which was diverted to Los Angeles International Airport, the statement said. The passenger was transported to a hospital for mental evaluation. The Marines who aided the crew were men of action, said their battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Chris Nedzoka. Honestly, I'm not surprised. Yeah. That's why you want the jugheads around when stuff goes wrong. Yeah, we'll take care of this. The Air Force B-1 bombers arrived in the Baltics for NATO training. Yeah, take that, Vlad. Take that. Travel restrictions are eased on some U.S. personnel in Germany. So congratulations. Congratulations to them. The Army wants people to wear wearable devices so they can electronically monitor the health of people. Yeah, George Orwell somewhere is just beaming with joy. Finally, we're getting it right. We're going to track everybody. Here's a funny story. In my new favorite website, Just the News, right? Architect of COVID-19 lockdowns resigns after flouting social distancing rules. British epidemiologist Neil Ferguson's prediction of 550,000 coronavirus deaths in the UK and 2.2 million in the US led to highly restrictive stay-at-home rules in both countries. Yeah. On Monday, the epidemiologist whose predictions guided the imposition of strict stay-at-home measures resigned his position when it was reported that his married lover visited him at home twice in defiance of social distancing rules. Ferguson issued a statement accepting blame. Quote, I accept I made an error in judgment and took the wrong course of action. I deeply regret any undermining of the clear messages around the continued need for social distancing. Oh my God. Ferguson had been recovering after himself contracting the COVID-19 virus. However, he has admitted that he may have been infected while attending a crucial press conference with Boris Johnson. So there you have it. People resigning. That's not good. I think we can stop the daily updates, right? I'm a little bit sick of those guys. Because it seems like they're wrong like 90% of the time. Yeah. The U.S. Navy SEALs have resumed training. So you got that going for you. So stand by for more news if that clown show's going. Oh, Mac, you're too harsh. Yeah, I know. I read the news, though. Secretary Esper was asked about the Theodore Roosevelt investigation. And he responded, we will follow the facts wherever they go. We shall see. We shall see. Top stories in Marine Corps Times. Marines are headed down under following deployment delay due to COVID-19. So the wheels begin to move again in the Marine Corps. The Pentagon is working on guidance for garrison commanders in states lifting coronavirus stay-at-home orders. Right, so now you got the governor of the state telling you what to do. Now the DOD is going to tell you what to do. But every situation's going to be, right? Every situation's going to be a little bit different. The United States has denied having anything to do with an ex-Green Beret's failed raid into Venezuela. Like, what in the hell, man? What in the hell, you know? Talk about crazy people, right? We're going to land in Venezuela and then do what? If there's no coup that's going to happen with support of the military, you know, what was that, a made-for-TV event, kind of like the thing in Turkey was or appears to be? Yeah. Top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, Esper. Flat budget could speed cutting of legacy programs. Yeah, so what's he talking about? What legacy programs is the Secretary of Defense talking about? He was testifying on budgets. Frankly, quote, frankly, my inclination is not to risk any in the modernization programs. It's to go back and pull out more of our legacy programs, Esper said in response to a question about modernization priorities, such as shipbuilding. Quote, we need to move away from legacy programs, and we need to invest those dollars into the future. We have a lot of legacy programs out there right now. I could pick dozens, but from all branches of the service. So that is where I would start. Let me see if he goes on to name any. He does not. All right, so legacy programs. Number two, as the coronavirus spreads, U.S. military attempts to secure no-fail missions. And the article's actually about moving into the mountain, right? Moving into the mountain in Colorado. Yeah, because you can't screw up if there's a nuclear attack. An infantryman who died in a non-combat incident in Iraq has been identified. Sergeant Christopher Wesley Curry, 23, died in Erbil on May 4th. COVID-19 is not expected as a cause of death. He was assigned to the 3rd Battalion, the 21st Infantry Regiment, the 1st Striker Brigade Combat Team of the 25th Infantry Division at the time of his death from Fort Lewis. It's called Joint Base Lewis-McChord now, as a matter of fact. Number four, U.S. has nothing to do with ex-Green Berets failed raid into Venezuela, not only from the Secretary of Defense, but earlier this morning from the Secretary of State, so you can rest easy. Your government was not a part of that foolishness. Number five, VA coronavirus deaths skyrocket as department revises its records. Yeah. And then there's a map that goes with it. Active cases, 2,957. Convalescent cases, that means people recovering, 5,964. Known deaths, 770. All right, that's a look at your news today. We'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to meet Ray Lineham, except I'm going to call him Linham. That's right. But that's his fault, not mine. So, yeah, I'm not taking responsibility for that. So don't touch that dial. More of this fine program, All Marine Radio, coming up next, right here on the home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.